Christ. Someone say amen. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, starting at verse number 16. I want to preach today on this subject, and that is quench not the spirit. Quench not the spirit. The Bible says rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Verse number 19 says quench not the spirit. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord God, for what you're doing even right now in this place. Now I pray that you will speak to every man, woman, boy, and girl, because Lord, this is your church. These are your people. We are your sheep, and I am your vessel. So help me, Lord, to speak every word that is intended. I pray that my flesh will not get in the way. In Jesus' name we pray. If you're ready to receive the word, clap your hands unto the Lord in Jesus' name. You may be seated. Thank you for standing and having patience with me. But I felt the Lord dealing with my heart right then. And I'm telling you, if you will not quench the spirit this morning, you will be obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm here to ask you a simple question before the outset of my message. What hinders you? What hinders you from obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ? And whatever is hindering you, whether it's a man or a woman, whether it's a father or a mother, whether it's an uncle or aunt, whether it's a husband or a wife, what hinders you from being obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ? That is a good question you must ask yourself, and I want you to be able to answer that here today, because as I'm teaching on this simple subject of quenching not the spirit of the Lord is here. It is present in this house, and you're going to feel him if you haven't already throughout this service, and that spirit is going to be tugging on you to make a decision to be obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you right now, I'm prophesying over this congregation. There's going to be chains that are going to break. There's going to be mountains that are going to move. I'm telling you, there's going to be situations that's happening in your life that are going to be repaired. I'm speaking it right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Somebody's leaving here changed today. You walked in here one way, but you're going to walk out of here another way. I don't know if you believe in the prophetic word of the man of God, but I don't know how else to say this very plainly. God is getting ready to change some hearts of many believers here this morning. Quench not the spirit. The word quench means to extinguish or to suppress or to stifle divine influence. When you think of the word quench, I really want you to think of this beautiful illustration here behind me of this fire extinguisher putting out a fire, because this is what many of us have been doing for far too long, and this is what we need the Lord to help us with so that this does not become something that is continual throughout our walk with Jesus Christ. But we don't want to extinguish or suppress or to stifle divine influence. The question is often asked, can someone that has the Holy Ghost, once they have it, can the Holy Ghost be removed from them? It is a very good question. Can the Holy Ghost, can it be removed from them? I really want to help some people here today that have the Spirit of God in them, and those of you that have recently received the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, this is important for us to understand. God will not remove himself from you, but you can remove yourself from God. Now, this is important for us to get this from a biblical standpoint, because the term backsliding, many of us have heard that word. The term backsliding did not originate from the church. The word backsliding originated from God. The Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 3, verse number 14, the Bible says, turn, O backsliding children. Look what the scripture says. It says, saith the Lord. And so it goes on to say, for I am married unto you. That is Jeremiah chapter 3, verse number 14. I thought they would have it up there on the screen there, but it's Jeremiah 3, 14. There it is. It says, turn, O backsliding children, saith who? Saith the Lord. For I am married unto to you. So God is letting you know, I'm not leaving you because I'm married to you, but I need you that have walked away from me to come back to me. And there's someone here today that has walked away from the marriage of God, and God is still waiting here with open arms saying, I'm not going anywhere. I'm just waiting on you to come back to me. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful that we serve a God that has been standing here with open arms, giving us an opportunity to turn back to him. Woo! Woo! Praise God, praise God. And so it's so important here. Now we can have even a greater understanding that God does not send people to hell, but we will send ourselves to hell. I'm going to repeat that. God does not send anyone to hell because we serve, we live in a culture that tries to say, how can a God do this to people, or how can he send people to hell? God does not send people to hell. We send ourselves to hell. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. I'm sorry, but when you go to your job, if you work 20 hours, they're not going to pay you for 40 hours. Okay, I need to go work at your job. Praise God. They're not going to pay you for 40 hours if you work 20 hours. You're going to earn your wage. It's the same way with living for God. The things that you do for him, you're going to have that wage back onto us. The scripture says you have been faithful over a few things. I'm going to make you ruler over many. That is your wage. But if we dive and stay into sin, we will have death. That is our wage. That's why the Lord is standing here today with open arms saying, turn back to me. Don't continue to walk in the same ways that you're walking into, but come back. Someone say to me. Now, verse number 15, look what it says here in verse number 15. It says, and I will give you pastors according to whose heart? His heart. I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. I tell people all the time, you should want to be in the church where you are being taught and where you can grow. If you're not being taught the word of God and you're not growing there, then why are you there? You shouldn't just be in a church just because your friends attend that church. You shouldn't be in a place just because you were raised in that place and this is where I was brought up at. No, I want to be somewhere where they give me understanding and knowledge. So that also tells me that there are pastors out there that God did not send. He says, I will give you pastors after my heart. I'm sorry, my friend, just because you attended a seminary school, that don't mean you a pastor after God's heart. There are some people out there that's in it for the wrong reason, and they teach the wrong philosophies and principles. That's why I say, Lord, I want to be led by your spirit. And so it's important here to understand that we all need a pastor. This gives us even greater knowledge to understand that we need a pastor in our life. You cannot operate in spiritual authority unless you're under spiritual authority. And everyone should have a covering in their life. If we were to ask every individual in here, who is your pastor? You should be able to answer that very quickly. Now, I know we have guests here today. I don't expect you to say Pastor Robinson, but those that are members of Star City Church, you shouldn't even hesitate to say Pastor Robinson, because if you do, you're in the wrong church. Because you need to have a covering in your life that you submit to and that you're willing to listen to, because I'm trying to give you understanding and knowledge. Because I'm not in this just for money. I'm not in this just for show. I'm not in this for all the other things that many people are in this for, but I'm in this to try to help some people to make heaven their home. My God, my God, can I help some of you understand that? Call me your pastor. You shouldn't be coming to church saying, Pastor, feed me, feed me. You should be coming to church saying, Pastor, be led by the Spirit, be led by the Spirit. Because if I need to feed you everything that you need, that means you don't have a prayer life Monday through Saturday. But somebody in here today should be praying for their pastor so that he's led by the Spirit, so that I can speak a word into the people of God. Well, I'm off my notes already, Brother Bridges. You better pray for me, okay? I need you to understand something here because I think I said that a little too fast. I don't think people in the middle section heard me right there, okay? I'm looking at Sister Kira. I want to make sure you heard me, okay? What I'm saying is that when you come to the house of God, hear me and hear me well. When you come to the house of God, it is the pastor's job and duty. I'm talking about myself up here in our church. It is the pastor's job and duty to be led by the Spirit, not by my flesh, but to be led by the Spirit in order to give the people a word from God. Because I cannot stand up here and speak from my flesh, because then I'm going to speak with an attitude. I'm going to speak with anger. I'm going to speak about Sister So-and-so who's been getting on my nerves for the last 2 weeks. And then I'm going to, okay, all right, let me talk to this side. Some of y'all took that personal over here. So, all these things, it's going to come out of me if I'm being led by the flesh. But no, I've got to say, Lord, work on my heart. Deal with me. Touch my mind. Because we need a word from you. You don't need a word from Eddie Robinson. We need a word from God. Because Eddie Robinson can't fix you, but God can fix you. Eddie Robinson can't change you, but God can change you. Do I have a witness in here that's ever called on the name of the Lord, and he came by and answered your prayer? Somebody clap your hands unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Praise God. So I'm not done. Can I stay here? Okay, all right. So let me stay here for a little bit. So then your prayer life should be so that you have communication with God. And you're not looking to a pastor to spoon feed you everything. Well, I know this is tough preaching, and sometimes I don't talk like this on Sunday mornings, but I got to talk like this morning. And so you shouldn't have to be spoon fed from your pastor everything. Did you hear what I just said? I said everything. Now, there should be a level of expectation that when you come to the house of God, that if your pastor is being led by the Spirit, there should be knowledge and understanding given. Right? Should be able to expound the word of God in such a way that you understand what thus saith the Lord, so that we can walk out of here with greater expectations in order to live like God. Right? That is the purpose, for you to have greater understanding so that you can know what God is expecting out of us, not Eddie Robinson expects out of you. Because the last time I checked, this is his house. We under his rules. This is his kingdom. Right? And so therefore then, your prayer becomes, Lord, bless my pastor. Help him to have greater understanding. Why should you want your pastor to go higher? Because the higher I go, the higher you go. I don't believe that. You need to understand that anointing flows down. It doesn't flow up, it flows down. So the greater revelation and understanding your pastor has, the greater revelation and understanding that can be passed down. Woo, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. And so that's why it's so important to have this complete cycle, that as your pastor and his wife are praying and crying out for you, it should be reciprocated to where the people of God are crying out for the pastor. It should be a continual thing. So then when you come to the house of God, you say, go ahead, pastor. You better preach that word. You better deliver the word. We're ready to receive the word. Why? Because I've been praying for you, and I believe you got a word from God to give to me. Woo. Hallelujah. And so that's why the scripture says, I'll give you, pastor, after my own heart, which shall feed you. They'll feed you with knowledge and understanding. Standing. Yes. Amen. Amen. So we can't allow this part of our life to be quenched. Right. Amen. Amen. You cannot allow this part of your life to be quenched. I've heard people say, I've asked them, I said, well, who is your pastor in your life? And you need to understand something, that your pastor has a pastor. Right. I would never sit under anybody that doesn't have a pastor themselves. Because every pastor needs to be able to answer to somebody too. Every pastor needs to be able to answer to somebody. I'm not up here creating my own rules, my own way, my own thing, and I'm not held accountable to somebody. I got to be held accountable to somebody. You know, my pastor listens in to our services. He listens in. He'll shoot me a text every once in a while. He'll call me. Hey, I enjoyed that message. Oh, hey, you can do this with the message. You can. Well, thank you, Pastor. I didn't know you was watching me like that. Praise God. I thank the Lord for that. I thank the Lord that there's somebody that cares about me enough. That's an overseer in my life. And so I've had people say, who's your pastor? And they say, well, Jesus is my pastor. No, that's against the word of God. Jesus can't be your pastor because he chooses pastor after his own heart. No. He's the chief shepherd. And then he puts under shepherds in place to help feed the flock of God. You see that? And so it is important for us to understand this. You know, if I was to say this, this scripture, many of us could probably complete this, but it says, resist the devil and he will what? But does anybody know how that scripture starts? All right, we got a few Bible readers. Can we put up James? I think it's James, what, 5-something? Maybe 17 or somewhere in that area. Or maybe it's 4-7. Maybe it's James 4-7. Give me James 4-7. There it is. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, resist the devil, he will flee from you. You want to know how to resist the devil? Submission. You must first submit yourself to God, because if you can submit yourself to him first, it will help you to resist the devil. Does that make sense? And so if you're struggling with things in life, I can tell you based on your struggles, whether you're submitted to God or not. Because you must first submit yourself. What are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about not quenching the spirit. Because if you allow the spirit of God that's within you to lead you and guide you, it will help you to resist the devil. It will help you to flee from things that you should not be in. The Bible tells us to flee fornication. It is important for us to understand that it starts with first submission. Now, let me give you a couple biblical stories that can help you understand this just a little bit deeper when it comes to not quenching the spirit. See, Paul here, the Apostle Paul in the book of Acts, it tells us a story here in chapter number 21 that Paul was told by the Lord to go to Jerusalem. And as he is on his way preparing himself to go to Jerusalem, he has some friends. His friends are now all church folks. These are all spirit-filled folks. The Bible lets us know that these are prophets and prophetesses, and these are people, men and women of God. These men and women of God came to Paul and told him not to go to Jerusalem. Now, let me back up here real quick. This is important for us to understand. In the book of Acts, chapter number 21, you read chapters 20 and 21. You can go and study that. It tells us and lets us know that God told Paul that I want you to go to Jerusalem, and he also told him what was going to happen to him when he got to Jerusalem. Now, this is important here because the Holy Ghost had told some of Paul's friends what was going to happen to Paul as well when he got to Jerusalem. And so now here is Paul on his way to Jerusalem, and all of his friends come up against him telling him, do not go to Jerusalem. Now, I want you to imagine this here now, that the Lord has told you to do something, and now you've got a bunch of your friends who are in church, believers of Jesus Christ, full of the Spirit, telling you, I'm telling you by the Spirit, do not go to Jerusalem. His friends are telling him to do something that God told him to do. His friends are telling him not to do something. Let me clarify that, what God told him to do. Going against completely what God told him to do. But Paul responds in this way in Acts chapter number 21, starting at verse number 13. The scripture says, then Paul answered, what mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? He says, for I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. Verse number 14, it says, and when he would not be persuaded, we cease saying, the will of the Lord be done. So in other words, they could not suppress or extinguish the spirit from within Paul. This is important for us to understand, because they sat Paul down in a chair. They tied his hands behind his back and they said, this is what's going to happen to you when you go to Jerusalem. You're going to be beat. You're going to be tied down. You're going to be put in prison. All these things are going to happen. We don't want you to go. But Paul said, you're not going to take from within me what God has put in me. If God says I've got to go, then I've got to go. Paul said, I'm not ready to be bound only, but I'm ready to die if that's what it takes for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says when they could not persuade him. And see, too many of you in this house here today are being persuaded by family members when God is telling you to move, when God is telling you to go, when the Lord is telling you to worship, when the Lord is telling you to be baptized, to be filled with his spirit. You cannot be persuaded by family. Because it's those closest to you that will hinder you the most. It's those closest to you that will hinder you the most. It's not folks just, you know, that you don't even know. These weren't people that Paul didn't know. Paul would have ignored them. But Paul began to cry over this situation because he knew God had put something in him that he needed to do. And see, God has put something in many of you here today that you know you need to do, and you cannot allow the spirit to be quenched. Because if God is telling you to do something, you've got to do it. And you have to be led by the Spirit. And too many of us are allowing our spirit to be quenched, even though you know the Lord is telling you, you need to be in the house of God. You need to come and worship the Lord. We need to pray more. We need to fast more. We need to consecrate ourselves more. The Spirit is leading us in this area, but we're quenching the Spirit. Hallelujah. And that's what we cannot do. We got to get to a place in our walk with him where we are not allowing the spirit to be what? Quenched. And so Paul here, persuaded means to move or induce one into doing something. And so Paul said, I'm not. You're not going to persuade me, but I'm going to be obedient to the voice of the Lord. In the book of Acts, in chapter number 4, we have to remember in the book of Acts, chapter number 2, The Holy Ghost has just been poured out. The birth of the church in Acts chapter number 2 has just recently happened. People's lives are being changed and many are being filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. So all these things are happening in Acts chapter number 2 and in Acts chapter number 3. Well, in Acts chapter number 4, there's a great storyline that begins to develop from Acts 4 all the way to Acts chapter number 5. What begins to happen is that people begin to become one. They begin to come united, and nothing that they had was their own, and they have all things common, and they're believing with one another. They're with one another. And what's amazing here is that the people are so much one that they begin to sell their possessions. They begin to sell their land and their property, and if they own homes, they begin to sell all these things and lay them at the apostles' feet. This is all taking place all at once, where people are just being led by the Spirit to give what they have in order to be a blessing to somebody else. Has God ever moved upon you to give to somebody else and you quench that spirit? Yeah. Right? God's moving on you saying, hey, I want you to pay for their groceries. Hey, I want you to bless someone else. You're like, Lord, I don't even got enough for myself. Right? We've laughed and joked sometimes, and we'll say, the devil is a liar. And it's the Lord moving on you to help somebody, and you don't, God's spirit talking to you. You thought it was your flesh. You thought you were rebuking your flesh, but you was just quenching the spirit. Just to be a help and a blessing to somebody else. Because that's what God will do. God will move upon you when you don't have it the most. It seems like when you are at the least, that's when God will move upon you to help somebody else. Now, wait a minute, Lord. I've got to get some more pull-ups. No, that's a true story. I need more pull-ups. We actually do need pull-ups. We gotta stop by Target today. But you want me to help somebody else. Acts 4 gives this great detailed story where people are helping other people. And then it goes to Acts chapter number 5 where these two people, Ananias and Sapphira, show up. Go home and study this. Ananias and Sapphira show up. And the Acts 4 actually ends with a man by the name of Barnabas who sold his land and gave it all to the apostles. He sold his land and gave everything that he gained, laid it at the apostles' feet, saying, I want to be a blessing to the kingdom of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And then in the very next chapter, the story continues on where Ananias and Sapphira, they sold, but they didn't sell everything. They devised a scheme together to say, we're going to tell them we sold everything, but we're only going to give them a part of everything. And the Bible says that the husband showed up, Ananias. That's why, men, you got to be a leader in your home. Oh, I didn't get a lot of amens on that. But Ananias showed up. That's why, men, you got to be a leader in your home. Ananias showed up first. A man showed up first, and he laid it at the apostles' feet. You need to go home and study the story, because the Bible lets us know that Peter said, is this everything? Is this what you have? Yes, this is all of it. And the Bible says that he didn't lie to man, but he lied to the Holy Ghost. That he lied to the Spirit. He quenched the Spirit. He didn't lie to man. He lied to the Holy Ghost. And the Bible says he dropped dead immediately. And then the scripture goes on to say that a span of, I believe it was 3 hours that went by. 3 hours that went by, and his wife didn't even know about it. 3 hours went by and she didn't even know what was going on, but she had the plan in her head. And so then when she shows up, Peter gives her a chance to tell the truth. Oh my God. I'm telling someone, if somebody in your household wants to quench the Spirit, don't allow yourself to quench that Spirit. Don't follow after people in your household just because they want to quench the Spirit. That don't mean you live like that. That don't mean you do that. I'm telling you, my friend, right now, I don't base my worship based off my spouse. She has to make up her own mind to worship the Lord. But as for me and my house, I'm talking about this house, this temple of God right here, I'm going to worship the Lord. I said, I'm going to magnify the Lord. I'm not going to let nobody stop my praise. I'm not going to let nobody stop my worship. So, baby, you can stay here, sit down, and cross your arms all you want. I'm going to lift my hands. I'm going to magnify the Lord. I'm going to shout hallelujah. Uh-huh. Listen, don't base your relationship off of someone in your household. Don't base your relationship off your spouse. Don't base your relationship off of people around you. That is a mistake that you can make if you base your relationship off of other people around you. You got to have your own relationship. You got to have your own walk. You got to have your own altar. Just because you don't want to show up in a prayer room, I'm going to show up in a prayer room. I'm going to pray. I'm going to come to church early. I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask God to speak to me. Just because you don't want God to speak to you, don't stop my relationship. Because Sapphira had a choice. She could have showed up and said, hey, my husband was up to no good, but I'm not going to quench the Spirit. This is not all. We got more land. We have more money that can be given. And her life would have been spared if she would have quenched not the Spirit. I'm trying to be as practical as I can here this morning, because I'm telling you, God is moving upon people here this morning in this house to go to another level in him, but you cannot allow that Spirit to be quenched. Hallelujah. Another level in worship. Don't quench that Spirit. Another level in your walk with him as far as reading your word, taking time to pray. All the practical things that we need to do to grow in God, don't quench that Spirit. When God is trying to get you up earlier in the morning just to take time to read, to take time to pray, don't quench that Spirit. Many of you here today are beneficiaries of the Spirit of God moving upon you, leading you to Star City Church. How many of you drove right by this building time after time after time? Something telling you, I need to go to that place, go to that place. Do I have a witness in here? You drove time after time, but then something said, go, go. And time after time, you kept quenching, quenching, quenching. But then finally, you said, I've got to go in that place. And now that you've entered into the house of the Lord, you are a beneficiary of what God was trying to do in your life to give you greater understanding and knowledge of who he is. Hallelujah. And we ought to thank the Lord for that. Because it's God's spirit that leads us. Oh, my Lord, my God. My Lord, my God. It's God's spirit that leads you. Because you can have the spirit leading you before the spirit is in you. Mm-hmm. You can have the spirit leading you before the spirit is in you. Because God has to lead you in order to bring you to a relationship with him. So now he cannot just lead you. He can be within you. Woo. That's why we can say this joy that I have, the world didn't give it and the world can't take it away. But first God had to lead you to a place in order for you to have a relationship with him so that his spirit can be within you. Does that make sense, everyone? And so now here's Ananias and Sapphira. They lied. He said, you've lied to the Holy Ghost. You've lied not to man, but to the Spirit. And Sapphira did the exact same thing. She lied. She went along with her husband. She dropped dead immediately, just like that. All because they quenched the Spirit. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You need to understand, if you can go all the way to the life of Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, if in your Bibles, you would actually go back to Luke chapter number 4. It's in Luke chapter number 4. And this is when Jesus Christ was now getting ready to begin his ministry. The very first verse, Luke 4, verse number 1. Can you put that up on the screen here? Look what it says here. It says, and Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by what? Spirit. He was led by the Spirit where? The Spirit led him into a wilderness. That means God can lead you into a place where you don't want to be. See, sometimes we end up in places and we're like, how in the world did I end up here? God can put you there. Because sometimes God will put you in wilderness places just to get your attention. Because he's not getting your attention anywhere else. He's not getting your attention where the light is shining, if you will. So he's got to put you in a dark place just to get your attention. He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And we know this is where Jesus was tempted by the devil. This is when he goes on a fast. He's fasting for 40 days. And this is when the enemy comes to him time after time. We know not just once, not just twice, but three different times the enemy comes to him. And what's interesting is that the Lord used the word, the written word, in order to fight the enemy. But we need to understand that the very last temptation, the devil used the word as well. He said, isn't it written that if you just dash a foot up against a stone, that if you begin to fall, that the Lord will charge his angels to come and catch you? The devil used the word. But Jesus came right back with the word. He said, it is also said that thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And see, that's why it's important for you to know your word. Because the devil knows the word sometimes better than what we know the word. And he can use the word to trick you and to make you think a lie. But see, Jesus knew that the Bible cannot contradict itself. So even though the devil spoke truth, God had to counteract with more truth in order for there to not be a contradiction. Does that make sense? Because yes, the word does say that, but the word also says you can't tempt me. So therefore, it cannot contradict. So he did not allow his spirit to be quenched. And the Bible says, give me verse number, I believe, number 14, I believe it is, in Luke chapter number 4. The Bible says, and Jesus returned in the power of what? That tells us that Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, and he came out of the wilderness full of power. So that means to let us know that if you allow yourself not to be quenched, not to quench the Spirit, that you can be led into a wilderness place full of the power, and you can come out full of power. That means you don't have to go into your wilderness full and come out empty. That means I can go into a wilderness full and come out still full of the same spirit. But we must learn not to quench the spirit. So no matter where you are in your walk, don't allow yourself to quench the spirit so that you come out of your wilderness on empty, wondering where is God? Because God is saying, I'm right here the entire time. I'm trying to lead you. I'm trying to guide you. I know some of you are in a dark place, in a low place, but I'm telling you, God's going to pull you out of that place still full of power. You've got to believe that with all of your heart, that if you can go in full, you can come out full. And I wonder if there's a few people in here that's ready to come out of your wilderness full of the Holy Ghost, full of the Spirit, full of power, full of authority, full of dominion. If that is you, clap your hands unto the Lord. Magnify the name of Jesus.